Welcome to the PDPW podcast, brought to you by Professional Dairy Producers, dairy's professional development organization.
So wonderful to talk to you this week. My name is Tom Thibodeau, the Distinguished Professor of Servant Leadership at Viterbo University in Servant Leadership. And that's what I'd like to talk about today. This last weekend, we had our annual conference on servant leadership. 450 people gathered. 450 good people who are doing good work each and every day came together to celebrate goodness that we experience through service, through leadership, and in community. Communities that are committed to a common good. Communities that come together each and every day to say, what is it that we can do rather than what is it that we can't do? What are solutions? All of us know the problems. All of us know the challenges that we're being faced. The climate right now, in terms of the Mississippi River, is flooding in our own town. The Mississippi is out of its banks, and we know that to be true because of the amount of rain that we received. We know that the West is parched, and there's forest fires that are taking place. We've seen people in the South whose homes have been damaged by hurricanes and tornadoes. But what do we see happening? Good people who come together in order to make sure that their neighbors are well taken care of. People who grab a chainsaw and make sure that they cut up branches and trees that have fallen so their neighbors can get to work and get their lives put back together. Insurance agents who climb up on roofs and looking for ways in which they can make those repairs and get those repairs paid for. Linesmen from the north who go to the south and making sure that their brothers in the work are supported in the work that they do. Well, that's what servant leadership is to inspire and engage others to work for a greater good each and every day. So we opened with a presentation by my colleague and friend Rick Kite. His new book has just been published called Finding Your Third Place by Fulcrum Press. In his research, he discovered that we all need a place to live. How important it is we have a place that we call home. Not just a house, but a place where we call home, a place where we belong, people that we belong to and with. We all need a place in which to work, a way in which we can contribute in terms of our efforts to the common good. Work is important to all of us. It gives our lives meaning. It gives us a sense of purpose, if you will. So we have a place to live and we have a place to work. But as research has shown, we need a third place, a place other than work, other than home, a third place where we gather and interact with our colleagues and friends and complete strangers. How important it is in the company of strangers to experience a sense of community that comes in music. Many people on the 4th of July will be gathering in large crowds where there will be music and there will be pageantry and then fireworks with complete strangers. And what you'll find happening at that moment, we all begin to celebrate that we are Americans. We're looking for these third places in terms of being public parks, libraries, coffee shops, taverns, church basements. And so on our first night, we had three young people in our community who are now running third places. A young woman who runs Jules Coffee Shop in La Crosse, Wisconsin, gets up at 5 o'clock every morning so she can make home-baked scones. She opens the door at 7 o'clock in the morning and she welcomes everybody in. She makes connections and friendships and makes sure that nobody sits alone and nobody's unrecognized. The second person is now open, has bought a church that was built in 1860 and is remodeling as a performing arts center. A performing arts center where places like the Boys and Girls Club, the Boys Choir, and the Girls Choir of La Crosse, the La Crosse Jazz Symphony, oftentimes these groups have no place to practice and they cannot afford other venues. And so he's opening it up as a nonprofit to provide places for people to have public performances. He's also created a business with this because it will become a space that will host weddings and funerals and other events. He's restoring a church to its original glory that has kept its stained glass windows since 1860s. It's part of the history of La Crosse, and this good young man, not even 40, is making sure that architecture is correct, that memories are held intact, and that the community has a place to gather to celebrate the arts. And finally, the bar manager at Leoniona's, a country tavern that's been in existence since 1890. You can see pictures on the wall of horses hitched up at the post. You can see the whole town out in front with a cornet band in the year 1900. It's extraordinary that this in place all these years and has a marvelous back room. And in that back room, people gather for music. Back in the day, people gathered for sending off families that were divided by World War I. The Great Depression, people gathered, and Aldo Leopold had a play called Old Man Erosion. The importance of, at that point, allowing the WPA to come in and to help stop the erosion that was taking place in our valleys. It was a place where people gathered before and after World War II and Korea and Vietnam. People in rural communities need a place to gather, and this is a place where people gather. And Michelle began to talk about the hospitality, where two young musicians just kind of showed up, and she allowed them to play in the bar just for tips. And at the end of the night, they got about $6. She said, "Where are you staying tonight?" And they pointed to their van. She said, "Listen, we have an apartment upstairs. Why don't you stay with us tonight?" She made him a frozen pizza, gave him a drink, and said, "You're welcome to stay." Well, they stayed until Wednesday, 3 full days without paying a cent. Welcome to come and to join us. Strangers welcomed in to a country tavern, an inn along the way. Isn't that what might have taken place 100 years ago? And neighbors and friends took them in and said, "Stay with us, if you will." The next day, we began with an amazing presentation between a father and a son who have built a business, had sold it, now building another business, and showing other people how to be successful in business by building up their culture, by creating opportunities for young leaders to develop their skills and their abilities, called breakthrough companies, and they're providing breakthroughs on a regular basis. We had a panel of young leaders, all women. It's extraordinary in terms of people in their 30s and 40s, the passion and the dedication that they have to health care, to the common good, to their churches. And these young people talked about the changes that they're encountering, that they want change to take place, and they have to at the same time be sensitive to others who do not want to change as fast. But all of a sudden, you saw within their voices hope and energy and how incredibly important it is. We had another gentleman, Wally Oligubre. You can tell by his name that he comes from another country. He comes from Nigeria, where his father was a diplomat. In an overthrow of the government, his father had died, and his uncle, who was the head of the Navy command, was assassinated. Wally and his mother and his sister escaped to the United States. They had lived with a level of comfort in Nigeria, and they came and they lived in poverty in the United States, and he worked his way and got into school. They were given refugee status in this country. Wally is now a project manager for the Mayo Clinic, working each and every day that making sure that medicine are made available to all. He also is a co-founder of an amazing program between NAACP in Rochester and the Mayo Foundation, in which refugee children are taught leadership skills. And three of these young people sat on stage and with a sense of dignity and courage expressed the obstacles that they've overcome, but the hope that they share. One of them wants to become a medical researcher. Another person is very much interested in quantum physics. It was just extraordinary. Give people a chance, and they grow, and they develop, and they shine. We had another person come and talk about her journey of faith in terms of the Good Samaritan, and how she finds herself now in a place she'd never chosen for herself, as she is now leading a Bible study within a jail. And she said, like the Good Samaritan, if I had seen these women on the street, I would have walked to the other side. I would have walked around. I would have avoided them. But if I sit down in a locked room with these women and I begin to listen to their stories and the way in which they suffered and the obstacles that they've had to overcome and persevere, she said, I am humbled by their faith. Are we not all humbled by the faith of others who show courage in the face of adversity? We had the president of a terrible university, Dr. Rick Treitley, retired colonel who has served two tours in Afghanistan, and he began to talk about the young people entrusted to his care, not only in the military but on a college campus, and at the end showed a marvelous 3-minute video that 9 out of 10 missions that they had in Afghanistan were humanitarian, bringing dental services and medical services and agricultural services and veterinarian services to the people, the villages of Afghanistan, brothers and sisters all, peacemakers to be true. The next day, we had an opportunity to hear from Cassie and Shelley Meyer. These are the leaders, the director and the coordinator for Professional Dairy Producers. They used to be Professional Dairy Producers of Wisconsin, but now their work is not only known within this country, it's international. They provide some of the best leadership development training for farmers in the world. People gather each and every year. They offer over 200 different programs, making it easier for people who are in dairy to access quality research and practices, best practices, so that they may grow and to develop their farms. They talked about the enormous rate of change that we thought that change that would come within the next 10 years will be here within the next 18 months. Here are a family, a mother and daughter, who represent both the 7th and the 8th generation of dairy farmers in their families and are hoping now that it'll move to the 9th and 10th generations as they continue to nurture the land and their animals, but most importantly, as they continue to nurture their community. Right after they were finished with us, they had to drive straight home, because they had to get their event barn ready because they were hosting a wedding the next day. But not only were they hosting the wedding, Cassie, the daughter, was finishing sewing up the wedding dress, and Shelley, the mother, was making numerous pies for all the guests who would gather. And our last speaker of the day, Father John Lasuba, Catholic priest from southern Sudan. When he was 12 years of age, the military came and took his father and his brother and killed them in the town square. His mother ran out, put her arms around him and said, "Save me one." He learned to do his numbers and letters in the sand under a tree in their village. Later, they moved to a larger city where he attended a school run by missionaries. He joined the seminary, became ordained as a priest, was saying mass for people in southern Sudan who were being attacked by guerrillas in the military. His own driver was assassinated, and people said, "Father, they're going to kill you next." He had to escape to Uganda, was found in a refugee camp by Catholic Relief Services, who brought him to this country. Currently, he is a priest in the Diocese of Rochester, Winona, Minnesota. He started a 501(c), Seeds of Wisdom, to build a parochial school, a Catholic school in southern Sudan, the newest country in the world, in order to teach the children the principles of servant leadership, children who have only known dictatorships since and civil war. Oh, it'd be so easy to give up. Oh, southern Sudan, a desperate place where civil war now takes place. The children were forced to leave their school, and now through his small nonprofit in Rochester, Minnesota, they are still paying tuition and providing uniforms and food for 350 children living in refugee camps in Uganda, hoping for a day when war will be no more, peace will return, and they will be able to come back to their country and their school. Augustine in the 4th century said, "Hope has two daughters, anger and courage. We must be angry with injustice. The problems that confront us all, at some points we should be angry about racism. We should be angry about the number of people who don't have enough to eat or a place to sleep. We should be angry about people who are not accepted. Certainly we're angry when our own children, but other people's children are bullied. Anger. But anger is not enough. you need to have courage. Courage comes from the French word cœur, which means heart. You must have the courage to act, to make sure that people are fed and educated. You must have courage to make sure that people are able to develop their leadership skills so that their businesses can grow. You must have courage to open your doors to take in would-be musicians who don't have a place to stay or enough to eat. You have to be courage to make scones at 5 o'clock in the morning for guests who will pop in just to begin their day. You need courage to make space for the fine arts. And all of a sudden, on Friday afternoon, all of us left with hope. My favorite commercial for many years has been this. Hello? My name's Tom Baudette from Motel 6. Tom Baudette goes on for 25 seconds explaining all the reasons as to why you might want to stay at a new and improved Motel 6. But the last line's a dandy. Remember, we'll keep the light on for you. A lot of people are traveling in darkness. A lot of people can name the problems that face the country. But I would ask you all to consider the good work you do, keeping a light on for others. Many people who are listening today are farmers or who work in agriculture. You are the peacemakers of the 21st century. You are providing food so people do not have to go to war. You are providing food so that people can live with a level of dignity and tranquility. Think of all the people who serve us each and every day and make our lives possible. I just came from a doctor's appointment in which at least 10 different people were concerned about my health and well-being, and so are you. Good people doing good work each and every day, witnesses to hope, keeping the light on, that's what servant leadership is. Have a good and happy life.
Our thanks to Tom Thibodeau for today's message. Tom, a distinguished professor of servant leadership at Viterbo University. And for archived podcasts and more on-demand programs, and for more on the professional development for today's dairy producer, head to PDPW's free website at pdpw.org. Until next time, have a safe and productive week.